Thank you for this day, Lord, and this time, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord. You're worthy, Lamb of God. You're worthy, Lamb of God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Once again, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for this day and this time, Lord. Now, Lord, we just yield to you again. We've made our declaration. Now, Lord, hide me behind the cross. Jesus, you be exalted. Let your word be sealed in hearts, Lord, and let my words fall to the ground. We love you. We thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you for direction and correction this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I remember not too long ago when our sheriff in Larimer County was ostracized because he took a stand. And we as a church sent him an email. I as a pastor and as a church, on your behalf, with your permission, sent him an email and told him how much we supported him. And you know what? In spite of it all, he got more support than he could do. Oh, there were people who were angry, but he got the support. We need to start backing up people like this. Amen? We need to start taking a stand. Scripture says that we will know Jesus is going to come back when we begin to rule and reign in this earth. Amen? That means taking the dominion that we've already been given. Amen? Adam and Eve were given dominion. They committed treason, gave it away to Satan. Satan became the ruler of this world. But Jesus, through the plan of God, came and redeemed us and brought us back into right relationship and into dominion over this earth again. It's your and my responsibility to take that dominion. Amen? Hallelujah. Before I get too much more excited, maybe we ought to get on. I'll tell you what. This is good, Harry. Thank you for sharing it with us. Praise the Lord. Righteousness. Amen. Justice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's not often that God does this to me, but I have two ways to go. Since we've asked for God's will, I'll just trust the Lord. I got to thinking about anxiety. Just started coming to me last night as I was sitting at work in between the things that I needed to do. Right now in this country, there is a lot of anxiety. Anxiety, like stress, is a killer. Amen? It's a killer. And we have nothing to be anxious about because the greater one dwells within us. Amen? The one who's in control of everything. He's still on the throne. He's still moving in our behalf. He still has a plan. And once again, I remind all of us that Obama can't do anything that God doesn't allow him to do. Amen? Because God's got him in the palm of his hand. Amen? So we don't have anything to fear. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 12:25. I've got a gentleman that I work with that I'm not questioning if he's a Christian or not. I believe he is. I'm not sure about his walk, but that's not my place to judge or to worry about. But the point is that he is extremely concerned that we may never recover from this. Recover from what? God's in control. If you really believe that, the Bible says, if we love him and we walk in his love, perfect love casts out all fear. Fear has torment. The enemy tries to bring fear to thwart our faith. Amen? Is that right? Here's what Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Amen? Hallelujah. Proverbs 15:13 through 17 says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fatted calf with hatred. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things the Scripture says is, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? I mean, the Bible says what's done in secret is exposed in the light. Amen? So these people who think they're in control right now, we know better. Amen? They think they're in control. They're doing everything they can to tear down what has been built over the inception of this country. The very principles and foundations that this country was built on, they're trying to tear them down. Every time we turn around, they're trying to sell them out. The most recent thing, for those of you who may not have heard, and I'm not going to get into this because I don't want to deal with politics today. I want to deal with God's goodness, His mercy, and His power. Amen? Hallelujah. Is now Obama standing up telling everybody, I'm going to do away with the don't tell. Don't ask, don't tell. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I don't get too involved, but I happened to hear Rush Limbaugh on a little excerpt they had on Fox News the other day. And let me tell you something. What he said was absolutely the truth. The enemy has got a foothold, or he thinks he does, and he's trying to tear down everything that this country has ever stood for and trying to leave it open for the world. He also made a comment about Obama's Peace Prize. Well, why not give him the Peace Prize? He's destroying the country from within. That's the way the world looks at it. But God. But God. Hallelujah. 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 We need to start standing up like the Prime Minister of Australia and saying, not in this country you won't. Amen? We need to pray for leaders that will stand up and have backbone enough to say, we're going back to the old-fashioned way. I'll remind you again that I heard a statistic, and I can tell you where it came from. It was a gentleman who was preaching, and I can't remember what church he was preaching in. This was back, I don't know if it was Easter or what it was. But he was saying right now, and I'll tell you what, this gives me hope, and I believe it. I believe it. We've been praying for years and years and years, amen, for God to get a hold of this country again. The things that have gone on since 1913 and the First World War. And now, it's estimated, according to this statistic, that 73% of the youth coming up are pro-constitution and pro-abstinence. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has always had those who would stand up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to be counted among those, and I know you do too. Glory to God. Glory to God. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. He's a God of hope. He brings hope to the hopeless. Help to the helpless. Amen? Hallelujah. Think about where you were when you started your journey with the Lord and where you are today. Oh, you should be shouting. You should be shouting. Amen? God's good. Hallelujah. He's still on the throne. He's still using His power and endowing us, giving us power to operate in His image and likeness. Amen? He promised that we would do those kind of things that Jesus did and even greater things so that the kingdom of God can be propagated, so that God would get glory. There'd be a testimony for the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing. You don't have to be anxious. You don't have to worry. Your Bible says, and my Bible says, that He's got us engraved in the palm of His hand, and His name is engraved in our foreheads. I'm reminded of the Scripture that says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. What day? The very day and time we're in. Amen? The very day and time we're in. God is good. Hallelujah. Hang on, folks. He's got a plan, and it includes you. Amen? It includes you. We're not passive in this. We're not just spectators. We're part of this. We're part of the army of God, the family of God, and we're going to go. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. What does that mean? That means you get a hold of the Word of God, you put on the whole armor of God, and you go out, and you take that shield of faith and quench those fiery darts. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. It's not that we're so great, it's He's so great. Amen? That we may exalt you, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. We know that that care talk is what it's talking about is anxiety, torment, fear, uncomfortableness. Amen? I don't tell people to take care. If I don't want it, why would I tell somebody else to take care? Amen? Now, that's just me. That's not law. That's just the way I feel. Amen? Hallelujah. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Praise the Lord. He'll never permit the righteous to be moved. I'm reminded of when Jesus was talking about Peter and to Peter. And what He said was, when He's talking about the rock and the foundation, on that foundation that Peter had and that Peter was, the fact that he loved the Lord, He said, on this rock I will build My church. And what did He say? The gate of hell will not prevail against it. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if that's the case, not about you, we got nothing to worry about, right? I got nothing to worry about. On the church, on the chief cornerstone, Jesus, God's building His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We're told in Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But in 6:34 it says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There are people who worried about, you know, one of the things I heard a comment this morning is, man, it's going to take 20 years to get this back on. Well, where are you looking? Where is your hope? Where is your trust? Is it in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Or is it in what you see? Amen? We have to keep our focus and our eyes on the One who's higher than all. On the One whose name and the character in that name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Whatever's named under heaven and on this earth, it will bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of that gentleman that used to be in this church. Used to say, if you're going to worry, why pray? And if you're going to pray, why worry? Amen? Pretty simple. But you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand God. You just got to come in simple faith like a child. Hallelujah. Luke 10:41-42, and it says, as Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will be taken away from her. Not be taken away. Yes, I missed that word. Sorry about that. Will not be taken away from her. Thank you, Donna. See, got a bunch of people who are in the Word here. That was a test. Not really. I missed the word. I missed it. You passed, by the way, Donna. A for the day. A plus. Praise the Lord. You know, we get ourselves occupied with all kinds of things that we shouldn't even be thinking about. Amen? When we have promises like the one that says that God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is what? Stayed on Him. If your focus and your attention is on Him, I promise you, you're in good shape, and you will be. And if you get in trouble, we still have the ability to call 911, Psalm 91:1. Amen? We've got promises there. He tells us, when that Scripture says, we know this, when He who dwells in the secret place will abide under the shadow of the Almighty, dwells, that means lives, remains constant, abides there. They stay right there. Amen? Hallelujah. Then it goes on to tell us what we can expect. Only with our eye will we behold and see the reward of the wicked. 1,000 will fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it won't come nigh us. So where's the anxiety coming from? Hallelujah. You all have confessed many times that God has never failed you. He's not going to start today. Amen. Hallelujah. He says He's begun a good work in us and He'll perform that work. And He's got a plan for this earth. Doesn't make any difference the devil's plan, about the devil's plan, or how big his plan is. He's got a plan. God's got a plan for this earth. And we're part of that plan to go and touch it and operate in His power. Amen? Praise the Lord. Finally, Luke 12, 22 and 23. Then He said to His disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, nor what you will put on." One of the big things that people are afraid of, that they talk about a lot in this day and age, even in the church, is the fact that we're going to be in such debt. We already are in such debt that our great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren will be paying for this. I'm reminded of what I was told by Pastor Stan when I first met him, when I went to him about some concerns I had in my own life, my son's life, and the miracle that God did when I thought that I was going to lose my kids because the court said so. And his comment was so simple, but it ministered to me greatly. He said, they forgot to ask God what His opinion was. Everybody told me, you'll never get custody of your children. You'll never get custody. But they forgot to ask God His opinion, what His plan was. And I got them without even a fight. A righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord. God has it already mapped out. Isn't He the beginning and the end? Doesn't He know the beginning and the end? Isn't He the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What you will eat, or about the body, what you will put on it. Life is more than the body. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. God knows what you have need of. He set this earth in place. He's got it all under control. All we have to do is trust in Him with all of our heart. Don't lean to our own understanding, but acknowledge Him in everything we do, every thought, every way, and He will direct our path. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Sometimes circumstances, things come to attack us, and through those circumstances we lose focus on Him, just like Peter when he stepped out of that boat. Nobody else stepped out of the boat. Everybody else was afraid. They were so worried about the storm, but Peter saw Jesus coming, and his faith was in Jesus. So when he stepped out, he walked on the water. It wasn't until he took his focus off of Jesus that he began to sink. But if you read that scripture, you find he never really did sink. He may have started to go down, but he cried out and got his focus back where it belonged. Jesus took him by the hand and put him back in the boat. More than a conqueror, amen? More than a conqueror. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. God's begun a work in us. Our responsibility is to keep on following His voice. Amen? Being obedient to what He tells us to do and making sure that we stay acutely tuned to that still small voice. Philippians 13, 12 through 14 says, "Not that I have already attained or am perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Amen? Hallelujah. One of the things that we struggle with as Christians, at least I do, or I have, God's healing me, He's delivering me from that, is the fact that when I walk with God, or when I walk in God's, walk my life out, I guess is a better way to put it, one of the things that I get hung up in is letting law that I've perpetrated on myself through my thoughts and ideas and the standards of society, or what I've been taught as a child by my parents, who were good people, don't misunderstand me, but I put myself under law. And I think if I follow this law, if I do this just the right way and everything, then I'm going to be okay. And yet all it's done is bring torment to me, because I can never live up to that standard. Amen? I can never live up to that standard. One of the things in these CDs that Stan just sent us about forgiveness is talking about, first of all, you need to be able to forgive yourself. What does the Scripture say about forgiving? You need to do it 70 times, 7 times, daily. That means yourself too. If you walk in that kind of, and we know that forgiveness means release. It doesn't mean I forgive you. It means I release you. Father, I release this situation. I release myself and I release the person, whatever the circumstances or situation may be, to you. And then watch God take and do what is necessary to bring restoration and reconciliation, redemption to the situation or the individual. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to always remember, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, you can't work your way there. Doesn't Scripture say it's not by works of righteousness under the law? I mean, if you think about it, it's under the law. We think if we just do this certain thing the right way, then everything's going to be okay. And that's not it. We're under grace, not law. Knowing this, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith, not by working, not by our actions, but by trusting in, relying on, and keeping our focus on Jesus, the Word of God, which is the living Word, which is Jesus, and allowing the Holy Spirit to be what He was sent to be, the Comforter, the Teacher, the Guide into all truth. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. That we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace, by unmerited favor, not by anything you worked out, not by anything that you can do for yourself, He loved us before the foundations of the world. And the Scripture says the reason we love Him is because He first loved us. He demonstrated that love. God the Father demonstrated His love by sending His Son to redeem us from the sin in the garden. Hallelujah. It's been passed down from generation to generation. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Now by works, I'm not talking about going out and doing what some people consider work, you know, working, doing, you know, just like being busy in the church and, you know, all those kind of things. Amen? It's not works. It's faithfulness. It's surrender. How many know surrender is not surrender until it's surrender? Praise God. Not of works, lest any should boast. Hallelujah. Titus 3:4-7. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. King James says ghost. Whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We're not justified by works. We're justified by grace. And because of that grace, we're not just sons anymore. We're becoming heirs. Not errors, heirs. You hear me? Not errors, heirs. Hallelujah. According to the hope of eternal life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We need to remain in the freedom that we have in God. Amen? There's so much. The Bible says in the last days you'll hear wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing absolutely the picture of what it says in Timothy. Perilous times are coming. Men are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. But God. Hang on, folks. Hang on.
We're here in this day and time because God had a plan, and you're part of that plan for this day and time. Amen. And I get beside myself with excitement, thinking about knowing my inadequacy, but knowing His adequacy, that God's got a plan, and I'm going to be part of it if I keep my focus on Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bob, you got something? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we just need to keep looking for His glorious appearing. Amen. His glorious appearing. One of the things Psalm 91 says is, there shall no evil befall you. Amen. Psalm 23, one or the other. In fact, I'm reminded about Psalm 23. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It didn't say death. It said the shadow of death. The devil's always making threats. But the Bible says he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. All he's got is a big roar. He's got no teeth. Because Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, made an open show of him, and restored dominion to his man. Amen. To mankind. Hallelujah. Once again, I remind you, we're not victims, we're victors. And we are more than conquerors through Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Half a dozen praise gods. Patrick, that CD that Fran gave you this morning, could you cue that up and make that ready, please? Hallelujah. What is this? It's our contract, right? Let's open our contract to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Very familiar piece of scripture. We all know it. We've heard it 1,000 times, but I want us to see it in writing. Terms and conditions, part of our contract. Yeah, I was talking last week in my message, and I made a couple of statements. One is that this country is being broken up and sold off piece by piece, right? We're being taken into captivities by the Babylonians. And I said, what do you expect when you kick God out of your schools, you kick Him out of your government, you kick Him out of your business, and out of a lot of churches? You can expect Babylonians. That's what you can expect. There's a lot of things going on in this country today, and a lot of people, including Christians, get very worked up about some of these things. And let me get to my place. Oh, yeah, put your spectacles on, Bob. It'll work better for you. There we go. And it is the job of the church to do a couple of things. One of these things is to preach the gospel, preach the word of God as it applies to some of these things. God is not neutral on a lot of subjects, folks. He's not neutral on homosexuality. He is not neutral on abortion. He's not neutral on fornication, idolatry. We could go on and on and on. Now, one thing that we all have an obligation to do, both as believers in Christ and as citizens of the United States of America, is to let our voice be heard. See, and part of how we do that is, one, we preach the gospel, but the other, we have a duty to let our elected representatives to know how we feel on these subjects. And, you know, you'll hear people say, well, that's not going to do a bit of good. Well, you know what? It's not going to be a bit of good if you don't write these people, is it? Amen? You know, I personally, in my email address, My address book, I've got the addresses of all of my elected representatives right there, and I'm not hesitant at all to fire off email to them, including the White House. You'll find it at whitehouse.gov. Now, let's take a look. God makes a statement here. I'm sorry, 2 Chronicles chapter 4. And we're going to take real quick at verse 14. God's telling us to do something. chapter 7, yes. I'm sorry. Verse 14. God's made a promise here to us. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What's God saying? God's saying, people, if you don't like what's going on, pray. Pray, pray. And I'll be your God and I'll heal your land. Fran came home yesterday and she said, I heard the song on the radio. Could you download it and burn it on a CD? And this song is called We've Got to Get America Back to God. It's recorded by a lady named Lori K. Just initial K. Have no idea what the last name is. But we all need to hear this song. Because she has put into song exactly what we need to do. We've got to get this country back to God. And that's the job of the church, ladies and gentlemen, to preach the gospel and to pray, just like God is telling us to. Amen? The other day, the Dalai Lama made this statement. He said, the strength of your country, referring to America, is the principles of your ancestors. You need to keep those principles. Now, did he say the strength of your country is because it's founded on God? Well, of course not. He's the head Buddhist. He's not a Christian. But you know what? If a Buddhist can see this, then we should be able to see this, right? Right? Amen. Patrick, would you play that song, please? Now that is an amen. Amen?
Yes.
When I heard that last night, I said, wow. Wow, this lady has put into song everything that is in my heart and I'm sure is in the heart of every other believer in this country. But you know, we've got to preach the gospel, people, as it applies to these situations. And so what if it offends somebody? You know, would you rather have them be offended or burn in hell because they didn't know the truth? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If my people will pray, I will heal their land. That's all God's asking us to do. He's asking us to pray. He's asking us to preach the gospel. That's not a whole lot, is it? Hallelujah. And, of course, right your elected officials. Amen? This is a great and mighty land. I do not believe that God is done with the United States of America. But our future is in our hands at the same time. Hallelujah. Kemp, you had, no? You were just, oh, okay. That was an amen. That was a Kemp amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Deborah had an actual comment. Yes, come up here where people can hear you. Let your voice be heard. Yeah, get the wireless out there. Are we going to get into this tag team preaching?
Well, you know, Karen and I started praying back in May, and Marie's with us, and we pray almost every single day, and so this definitely is something where, you know, God says, hey, you're on the right track. What God gave me, and I wrote it down here, God has moved upon his children to get on their knees and seek his face, praying for our country's salvation, not just for our country to be prosperous, but for its salvation. It may look like Satan is winning, but our God is far greater and has already won. Let's start acting like winners.
Amen to that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I just have to stand in awe of you, Lord, just the way you orchestrate things, the way you bring things together. And I know you have a great and mighty plan for this land and for us as well. Hallelujah. So then I'll do just what I have been saying. You know, I always amazes me how God always gives me these opportunities to live my sermons. And so I'll just pray right now for my country, and I just invite you all to join me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up to you the United States of America, one nation, under God, indivisible, with land. Where was I? One nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. Hallelujah. Lord, your word says that if we will just pray, you will heal our land. So we ask you for that, Lord. We come before you right now as children of the living God, and we ask you, Father, to heal our land. We ask you to cast out the Babylonians. We ask you to bring this country back under your dominion, Lord. We ask once more, Lord, that we have honorable, honest, God-fearing people in Congress, and that we have God-fearing believers in the White House, and in city halls, and in the boardrooms of businesses throughout this country, Lord. Hallelujah. Heal our hand, Lord, land, Lord. We ask it of you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor, do you wish to close the service?
In the past few months, I have been doing some studying on on what we have seen in the Bible, who the witnesses are that we have, and what they have done, these witnesses. Well, of course, Stephen was one that really amazes me. Although they stoned him, yet he was saying, "Father, forgive him." I've been reading a book. It's not a book. It's a devotional. Every day has got a new one, and it's called It comes from the Voice of the Martyrs. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that publication. It's a tremendous thing. And I've got one here. There's many in here, but there's one here that I'd like to read to you. Something that has gone on in past centuries. After they had been tried, found guilty, sentenced to die, 26 Christians were marched to the place where the crudely made crosses stood. Almost 3 months earlier, they had been arrested in Kyoto, Japan, and charged with following Christ. One of the convicts was named Ibaraji Kun. Seeing how this young man was, an official took him aside and urged him to recant in his faith to save his life. Looking the official in the eye, Kun said it confidently, "Sir, it would be far better if you yourself became a Christian, then you would go to heaven with me." The officer stared at the young, startled the young man's faith. Finally, Ibaraki said, "Sir, which cross is mine?" The bewildered officer pointed to the smallest of the 26 crosses. Young Kun ran to the cross, knelt before it, and embraced it. When the soldiers began to nail his hands to the feet to the cross, he did not cry out in pain. He courageously accepted the path God had laid out for him. The crucifixion of 26 Christians on November the 23rd, 1596, was the beginning of a period of intense persecution of Christians in Japan. Over the next 70 years, as many as 1 million Japanese Christians would be killed for their faith. Many would embrace their own crosses, followed the example by Ibaraji Kun, a very mature 12-year-old boy. This book is full of people like this. In matter of fact, even a young girl by the name of Cassie Bernal. Bill and I know her. Cassie Bernal, grandparents used to work for us in the transportation department in the Jefferson County Schools. Bernie Bernal was the master mechanic at the South Area Transportation Department on the buses. And Cassie Bernal was one of them was killed by Q. Gordon Harris. She's in this book. Remember something, folks. Remember something. pray for those people that I've got. I mean, I wanted to give you about two or three of them today, but time is short. Remember the people that are suffering for us, suffering for Christ, which in effect, actually, they are suffering for us, to give us the strength to stand up to what is coming on. Be very careful that you always include the martyrs that you hear each day. There's many of them. They're in. If you would hear some of the stories that are in Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Christians that are coming forward and saying, "No, I will not bow down to Muhammad. That God is not my God." Praise God. These people are dying and suffering for the sake of the cross. Amen. Remember them in your prayers. Remember them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Does anybody need prayer today? Is there anything we need to pray about? Are all hearts clear? Yes, ma'am. Well, that's not God. Praise the Lord. Raise your hands towards Marie, please. Father, in Jesus' name, we send the word right now. You paid the price, Lord Jesus, for her healing by your bruises and stripes and your blood. So as we send the word right now, we say to Marie's body and ear, open up, be whole. She's not seeking to get healed. She is healed by those bruises, by the blood, and by the stripes that you took. And we thank you now, Lord, that that ear is opening up. It's functioning. We command it to function the way it was designed and created to function. We'll receive no other report, and Satan, we put you on notice. In fact, we send this infirmity, this affliction, back on you, and we see it on you. You're the one with the blocked ear. And we thank you, Lord, that Marie is now free indeed, healed from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, and we give you all honor and all glory and praise and thanksgiving. We say it's finished in Jesus' name, the name that's above every name. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's not God. Jesus paid the price. Does he know the Lord, Karen?
I really don't.
Okay.
I really don't.
Okay. What's his name?
Bobby.
Praise the Lord. Let's agree for Bobby, amen. Father, once again, in Jesus' name, we lift up Bobby to you, Lord, and we send your word. Lord, the most important thing here is that he knows you. That he comes to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus, and your plan of salvation, Lord. We thank you, Lord, now as we send your word, Lord, that you will illuminate his understanding according to your word. Holy Spirit, we ask you to go, to minister to him, to bring comfort, to bring truth, to reveal to him who God is, what was done on the cross for Bobby, Lord. And Lord, we thank you now for his healing, Lord, whichever way that may come, Lord. We know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But Father, we ask you to raise him up, whatever your plan and your will is, Lord. And through that raising up, Lord, that will be a testimony that will go around that jail, that prison, Lord, that will touch people and let them know that you are alive and real, that will cause them to look to you. And Lord, that many will be touched by the miracle and you will get glory to yourself and kingdom will be built for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, we thank you that it's done. Once again, we curse this cancer. We send it back to the one who brought it on. But we thank you now, Lord, even more importantly, for the salvation, the sozo, that he's saved from cancer. He's saved from death and hell. And he's saved into your grace and your mercy and your knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this day and this time. We thank you for your word. And once again, Lord, I ask that you seal your word in our hearts. Let the words of man fall to the ground, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, for what you accomplished today, Lord. We thank you that your word does not return void, but it does exactly what it was sent to do. That those seeds, Lord, will bring forth fruit in their season, in your timing, Lord, and will cause direction, correction, and change in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that these words built up and edified and exhorted according to your word and your will, Lord. Now, Lord, we pray for the time of fellowship, Lord. We just ask you to just bless our fellowship. We invite you to be a part of it, Lord. You come and dine with us. Now we sanctify the food by your word in this prayer. We give you thanksgiving for the food, the provision, and the fellowship, Lord. More than everything, more than anything, for your presence here in this place and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.